Praise the Lord. In our previous two messages of this series of four messages, we've examined the main character in this story, and that is the prodigal son. The younger son who went off into the far country. And in our first message, we looked at the road of ruin. The road of ruin is paved with selfishness, and all God's people said. We saw his selfish demand in verse number 12 and his selfish desire in verse number 13 and his selfish departure also in verse number 13. His selfish dissipation, he wasted his substance with riotous living. And then his selfish destitution in verse number 14. There arose a mighty famine in the land after he had spent all. Last week we looked after he was there in the hog pen, we looked at the road to recovery. And the road to recovery is found in verse number 17 with that first phrase. And when he came to himself, and he thought, what am I doing? Can I say that for you to come to God, to come for salvation, you're going to have to come to yourself and say, what am I doing? I'm on my way to hell. Why on earth would I want to go to hell when I die? Amen. But can I say also for that Christian that may be here that's walked away from God or perhaps pointed a finger at God or raised a fist to God, sir, ma'am, you're going to have to come to yourself about God. Amen. And he came to himself here. We studied last week that he looked at reflection. He came to himself. He looked at resolution. I will arise and go to my Father. There was repentance there in verse number 18. There was return in verse 20. And there was restoration in verses 22 through 24. In our message next week, Lord willing, by the way, James 4, 18 says, if the Lord will. You know, none of us is guaranteed to be here next week. That's me too, amen. But Lord willing, our message next week will speak about the lesser character in this story, and that is the other prodigal son. You see, there are two prodigals in this story. There's the one that went off and he was a prodigal of action, but there was the second who stayed home with his father and he was a prodigal in attitude. An attitude, ladies and gentlemen, determines action. And so, Lord willing, we'll look at him and our message next week entitled, The Road of Resentment. However, today, I'd like to examine the key character in this whole story. And that is the father of the two prodigal sons. Our message today is entitled, The Road of Return. In which we'll investigate the splendid character traits here and equally marvelous actions of the Father, who is a picture of our Father, which art in heaven. Could we look at several things today? I have 10 points today, and so I'll go quickly, I promise. We'll be done at least 1:30, something like that, amen. No, of course, you know I'm just fooling about that. We'll be done on time, I promise. I'd like you to notice, number one, the permitting of the Father in verse number 12. In verse number 11, we're introduced to this father that had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And look at the next part. And he divided unto them his living. You know, the father permitted the son to choose to leave. He permitted it. He could have been like many fathers and said, no, you're not going. And again, by the way, there's something to that from time to time, parents, fathers. It's okay to tell your daughter you're not going off into the car with some boy. Amen. That's a good spot for a loud amen. It's still okay to do that. Amen. But here was a young man, probably in his 20s, coming to manhood, and he said, give me what's mine. By the way, it still wasn't his yet. We'll get to that and talk about that. But the Father permitted him to choose. You know, one of the hardest questions that I've ever been asked in the ministry, Brother Heath, is someone will come to you and come to a preacher. You're a preacher. Yes, I'm a preacher. Do you believe the Bible? Yes, I believe the Bible. You believe God's good? Yes, I believe God's good. And they say, if God knows the end from the beginning, how come God allows people to go to hell? Listen, it's not a trick question, folks. It's a hard question. Amen? I'll tell you the reason. He gives us a choice. Listen, parents, when you have kids that are my age, obedience is by fiat. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? My kids are 3 and 1. They obey because I say so. Oh, you're a dictator. No, I'm a good parent. Stay out of the road because I say so. That's where the cars are. Amen? I don't want them saying, why, Dad, would you like me to stay out of the road and stay away from those 2,000-pound vehicles? Tell me why, Dad. No, at 3 years old, they just need to know because Daddy says so. But there's going to come a day where they don't have to obey my commands, but they can choose. Amen? You see, free will may be a thorn in the side of the Calvinist that believes we're supposed to be robots. That God picked you, Joanne, to be saved, but you, Brother Curry, you can't be saved because you're not elect. That's hogwash. Anybody can be saved who wants to be saved. You see, our God is a God of free will. He allows us to choose. It's part of His goodness. Free will harmonizes with the Bible. Our Father wants us to choose Him because we love Him. That's why He tells us, what is the first and great commandment in the law? That you love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Why? Because if you love God supremely, you know what you'll choose? His ways, which are the best ways. Can I say this? He will allow you to do what you want to do. Because He's a good God. He's a good Father. You see, Ecclesiastes chapter number 11, Solomon writing, and he writes a verse that many have misinterpreted. He writes with a tinge of sarcasm. And he says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Could we apply this verse to the prodigal? Hey, you go ahead and rejoice in your youth. And let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth and in the sight of thine eyes. Do what you want to do, he says. But then the second part of the verse says, but know that for all these things that God will bring thee into judgment. You know, you can do what you want to do. But ladies and gentlemen, Christian or lost, our God judges sin. You want to play with sin? Go ahead. Go ahead! But I'll tell you what, you'll be sorry. The prodigal was sorry. He left part of himself in that far country. But I'm going to tell you something about the Father today. He's permissive. He allows us to choose. He permitted His Son to leave the Father's house. You know, there's only one thing that brought the prodigal back. Father. Father. He thought about how good his Father was. Number two, not only the permitting of the Father, but the plenty of the Father in verse number 12 as well. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. The father generously gives his inheritance long before he was to pass on. Did you know, sir, ma'am, it is God's desire to bless you. It's not a trick statement. It is God's desire to bless you. God wants to bless you. And can we say this? Just like an earthly father, God sometimes bestows goodness on disobedient children. Pastor, you're preaching heresy. No. He divided unto them His living. This was not what He wanted for His son to go off into the far country. But I want to tell you, our God is plentiful in blessing. God blesses selfish children too. He doesn't bless them as much as He does obedient children. He doesn't bless them as much as He does selfless children, but He blesses His children because they are His children. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and He gives His children steaks. You see, God owns it all. And we sung the song on purpose this morning, a child of the King. If you're saved, if you're a child of God, you are His child. Nothing can change that. No matter what you say, no matter what you do, no matter what you think, God is plentifully ready to bless you. He wants to. Number three, not only the permitting of the Father and the plenty of the Father. I love this. The provision of the Father. That was what arrested, Brother Horsch, the prodigal's attention. Verse 17, look at it. When he came to himself, and again, we've said it, what am I doing? Why? I'm in the hog pen. I must be a fool. Why? Because how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. You see, the prodigal remembered how well his father provided for his servants. You know, God provides you with good things. About time we got back to thanking Him for that job. Amen. Those skills that you have. You say, well, I learned them myself only by the goodness of God putting breath in your lungs and blood in your veins. In a mind to be able to think, amen. By the time we got back, God gives us good things. Psalm 68:19 talks about how He daily loadeth us with benefits. Daily. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. God provides you with clothes and food. I don't think anybody here is starving today. We may be a little hungry, but it's not because we don't have food in the cupboards. You see, we serve a good God. And he remembered how the Father provided good things for His servants, and He provided food and clothes. And you know what else He provided? He provided a home for His servants. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You see, our Father not only provides good things and food and clothes, but He provides a home for us. It's a place called heaven. You see, friend here today, you don't have to die and go to hell. There's a heaven that's waiting for anybody who wants to go there. Anybody that wants to get on the heavenly express, amen, through Jesus Christ. You see, he thought about his Father's provision, and he came to himself. My Father treats his servants better than a lot of people treat their sons. I'll go back and just be a servant. The provision of the Father. The plenty of the Father. The permitting of the Father. The patience of the Father. Look at verse number 20. The patience of the Father. What a verse. And he arose, speaking of the prodigal, and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. No one knows No one knows how long the prodigal went, wasted, and withered away in the far country. But it is easy to see from this text that the father was patiently watching and waiting for his son to come home. Patience is not something that is very high on my "you're good at" lists. Amen? Okay, it's just me that's not good at that. I understand. It's okay. It's fine. Amen. I understand. You're a very patient crowd. You put up with my preaching. You must be patient. Amen. When's he going to get better? I'm just being patient here. No, but patience is, it's a hard thing. Tribulation worketh patience. You see, we want patience, we just don't want that trouble that brings it. Our God is, our Father is so patient. You know, Brother Lawley, there's times I've told God, "You should have squashed me like a bug for that. You should have stopped my heart from beating for that thought or that deed." But He doesn't. He's long-suffering. Aren't you glad before you were saved that the Bible says that God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance? I think of, and I look down, I see we had such a time yesterday at the hog roast, but then several of us went to Lakeland Correctional Facility in Coldwater and played softball against the inmates. We had a beautiful night and really played well. I saw Brother Heath up there preaching, and I've heard Brother Heath preach many, many times. And he's a great preacher, a great preacher. Loves God, loves his family, loves his church, loves his pastor. Loves his pastor. Well, he told me he did a couple of years ago anyway, amen. I saw him up there preaching, and he was just, Dr. Malone would say he was hoeing two rows at a time. I mean, he was preaching. Preaching on Nicodemus and salvation coming to your house. And I thought, and as he began to give his testimony, he said he got saved in 2003. Listen, I went to Bible college with Brother Heath. And he graduated in 2000. Anybody putting two and two together there? Went all the way through Bible college, lost. All the way through Bible college, lost. And in 2003, God gripped his heart. I'm glad God's long-suffering, Brother Heath. I'm glad God's long-suffering with me when I mess up. When I may not go all the way that the prodigal went. I'm glad He's long-suffering. He's patient. By the way, God help us fathers be patient with our children. I come home sometimes, and I know you wouldn't think so because he's my child, but Eric is a chatterbox. I have no idea where he gets it from. His mother's in the front row. But I come home, and it's, "Daddy, daddy, 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 I want potty, daddy, 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 daddy." And there are times when I get a little impatient. And the Lord smites my heart because He doesn't get impatient with us. He's patient. He's a wonderful Father. The patience of the Father, the provision of the Father, the plenty of the Father, the permitting of the Father. I love this. The pity of the Father. The pity. See, that's a word that's used today, not like it was in Bible times. The pity of the Father. Psalm 103:13 is a companion verse to verse number 20. It says, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." Get the little grandbaby in here today. And Mrs. Lawley said, "Pastor, you tell my daughter it's okay for a baby to cry in the auditorium." And I said, "It's okay for the baby to cry in the auditorium." Amen? It's okay. You know, when a baby cries, there's a pity that comes over a parent. At least those that have natural affection. You know, there's a whole group out there without natural affection that could hurt a child, that could abort a child. See, if you've got natural affection, when that baby cries, there's something inside you that just says, oh, poor baby. You want to try to help. You see, here, it's so beautiful in verse 20. Look at it. It says, but when he was yet a great way off, he saw, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. He saw, he ran, he went to, he hugged, he kissed his hog pen filthy son. Listen, I gotta believe Brother Howland, he didn't smell very good after being and working in the hog pen. If you've ever been around hogs, there's not a more disgusting animal. Sits and slops around in its own filth. That's why God says, as the sow turneth to its vomit, just talks about how wretched the sow is. And here's this young man. I think if he'd have come to some of our homes, we'd say, hey, you need to take a shower first. But the father was so pitiful. You know what he did? As soon as he saw that boy, he took off a running. And I don't think he was jogging. I don't think he was power walking. I think he was sprinting to where he was. And he reached and he saw him and he grabbed his face and he kissed on him. And maybe the son said, Father, don't do that. I stink. He said, I could care less. You're home. You're home. You're right where you should be. There's a great hymn we sing. It's called Just As I Am. It's based on the verse John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him who cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. The writer Charlotte Elliott was stricken very ill. And she said to someone one day, if God loved me, he would not have treated me this way. And can I say, many a Christian who love God have said a similar statement. So, well, I've never said anything like that. Well, you just bear with the rest of us that are not visitors from heaven. Because there are times when we don't understand what God's doing. I think of people that deal with prolonged illness, like Charlotte did. Dr. Cesar Millan visited the Elliots, a great preacher, in May of 1822. Over dinner, Charlotte lost her temper and railed against God and her family in a violent outburst. He embarrassed the family and they left the room. Dr. Millan was left alone with her. He said to her, you're tired of yourself, aren't you? You are holding to your hate and anger because you have nothing else to cling to. Consequently, you have become sour, bitter, and resentful. The Lord smote her heart and she asked, what's the cure? He said, the faith that you're trying to despise. As they talked, Charlotte softened and said, if I wanted to become a Christian and to share the peace and joy that you possess, she finally asked, what would I do? He said this, you would give yourself to God just as you are now, with your fightings, fears, hates, and loves, pride, and shame. And she said, I would come to God just as I am. Is that right? I said, that's right. And through that, we have that beautiful invitation hymn we sing, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, just as I am. You see, he didn't tell the prodigal to clean up. He accepted his son just as he was. Aren't you glad? You know, when I came to Christ, I was a mess. It wasn't just my hair. And those of you that were here for the revival meeting, every time my pastor tells the story about how long my hair was, it gets longer. We're having our 25th anniversary of our home church in September. Carrie and I will be taking a week and going out and preaching and being part of that. And I'm waiting to hear how long my hair is in that. I'm sure it will be two towns over on the highway. I had long hair, but I'm going to tell you something. I had a wicked black heart that loved sin. God had pity. And a soul winner had pity. Somebody had enough pity to pass out a track to somebody who really needed it. The pity of the Father. The patience of the Father. The provision of the Father. The plenty of the Father. The permitting of the Father. Number six, the passion of the Father. Or the love. Verse 20 again. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. Compassion is love in action. That's what it is. Compassion is love in action. The word translated compassion comes from the Greek word. It's a large word, spagnizomai. I'm not saying that again either. Thank you. And means to be moved with love and pity. It's used 12 times in your King James Bible. Jesus used it when he healed the leper in Mark chapter 1, verse 41. He used it when he saw the scattered multitudes in Matthew chapter 9. He was moved with compassion. He used it in the feeding of the 5,000 in Matthew 14 and Mark chapter 6. He was moved with compassion because they hadn't had anything to eat. In the feeding of the 4,000 in Matthew chapter 15, when someone requested Jesus' help, when that father said, I believe, help thou mine unbelief, Jesus was moved with compassion. When the creditor forgave the servant's debt, he came to him, he said, have patience with me and I'll pay thee all. And it said he was moved with compassion. The journeying Samaritan was moved with compassion when he saw what the devil had done to a person. The waiting father here is moved with compassion. When Jesus healed the blind man, he was moved with compassion. Ladies and gentlemen, our Father loves us. And this Father, he was literally moved with compassion. He had compassion and he took off. It moved him. It moved him. Our Father is moved. He's touched by the feelings of our griefs. The song is called, Does Jesus Care? Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my griefs. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know our Father cares. He's moved with compassion, passion, pity, patience, provision, plenty, permitting. Number seven, the pardon of the Father. The pardon of the Father. Verse 21, and the Son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. The prodigal came back and he said, Father, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I've made a mess of myself. Our Father forgave him. No questions asked. Isaiah 55:7 says this, let the wicked forsake his way. That's our part. And let the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. A clean slate every time you come to God in simple repentance. And you say, God, I'm sorry. See, the problem is we're raising a generation that doesn't know how to repent. They don't need to repent. They don't need to repent of wicked music or wicked dress. See, they've got churches that cater to that stuff. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to do your children a favor, teach them how to say, I'm sorry. Sir, if you want to do yourself a favor, look your wife in the eye when you raise your voice when you shouldn't and say, I'm sorry. You see, you're not going to have any healing in your marriage until you get those words out. I remember as a kid watching the show Happy Days. We don't often give illustrations from television. I remember watching that show, and there was one particular episode where Fonzie had to say, I'm sorry, and he couldn't do it. He went, I'm sorry. He couldn't get it out because he never said it before. And I think there's a lot of Christians that are that way. I'm sorry. Hey, listen, you do something wrong, you tell God you're sorry. And you know what he does? He takes that whiteboard with all that black, red, and green all over it, and he takes his clean eraser of his blood, and he wipes it clean. See, our God is a forgiving God. He pardons. He pardoned the prodigal. How do you know, Pastor? Look at verses 22 through 24. It says, and he said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on his hand and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive, was lost and is found. And could I add, I don't add to the word of God, but could I add just a parenthesis, and was off in sin and is now forgiven. He's forgiven. Pardon of the Father. Passion of the Father. Pity of the Father. Patience of the Father. Provision of the Father. Plenty of the Father. Permitting of the Father. Couple more. Now be through. Number 8. The pursuit of the Father. The pursuit of the Father. Of course, we see it here with the prodigal as he takes off and looks for him. But I want you to notice about the elder brother. The elder brother we'll look at more next week. But verse 28 says about the elder brother, when he heard that his brother had come back, it says that he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. The elder brother refused to rejoice at what the prodigal had done. So the father was concerned enough to go to him where he was. What a father. You know, I could think of another time where a man after God's own heart let his son stew. You know the story of David and Absalom. And how Absalom had killed Amnon. And for 2 years, David did not deal with his son. I'm glad our Father is not that way. He deals with us. He comes out and the Bible says there, he entreated him. He was concerned. You know, if you look back in Luke chapter 15 and verse 4, he was concerned over a sheep. It says there that, hey, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he findeth it. Verse number eight, about the lady who lost the coin. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. You see, you know what? The father had two sons and they were both home and one wouldn't come in. And you know what he did? He went out and sought him diligently until he found him. J. Sidlow Baxter said this, year after year, he tracks after some of us when all we deserve is to be left to our own obstinate folly and final ruin. Our God is a pursuing Father. Aren't you glad for that? Number 9, I had to stick with the P's, the philanthropy of our Father. They say, what does that mean, Pastor? Look at verse 31. Here he's dealing with his angry son, and I have to believe, as the father is, everything we know about the father, he came out calmly and quietly, and a soft answer turneth away wrath, and the younger brother, the older brother, just raising his voice and saying, you know what, your son has devoured everything you give to him with harlots, and I'm here all the time, and you never gave me anything. Verse 31, the father says, and he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. You say, what is it? What does philanthropy mean, Pastor? It means kindness. Kindness. You see, the younger and the elder were so different. The father manifests his kindness different to them. He manifests his kindness to the younger by getting him the robe and the ring and the shoes and the fatted calf. He manifests his kindness, his philanthropy to the elder by just hearing him out. You know, the father had every right to verbally blister both of them. Didn't he? What do you think you're doing, wasting all that money? I worked my whole life for that money. You wasted it in just a short time. And you, Mr. Attitude. He didn't do that. See, our father's kind. He's kind. And by the way, are you listening, parents? It'd do us all better to drink a big old dose of kindness before we deal with our children. You see, you may have rules, and rules are a good thing, but rules minus relationship equals rebellion every time. See, you take rules and you give a relationship and you add a little patience and a little kindness and you'll have what you have here, restored fellowship. And isn't that the goal? The goal is not to show your kids you're right. The goal is to bring them back in the fold. The philanthropy of the Father. The pursuit of the Father. The pardon of the Father. The passion of the Father. The pity of the Father. The patience, the provision, the plenty, the permitting. And lastly, the priority of the Father. The priority. You say, Pastor, what's the priority? Look at verse 32. It was meet that we should make merry. It was becoming. It was proper for us to make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again and is lost and is found. You see, the elder brother just didn't get it. He thought about it, everything was about what he did for the father. See, there's a lot of Christians that are that way. Their life is not summed up in the priorities that God gives us. It's how much can I do for you? Now, there are a lot of preachers that are this way. I'm a preacher and I love preachers. And preachers are going to have a lot to chuck in at the judgment seat of Christ, but a lot of it's coming out wood, hay, and stubble, ashes. See, it's not what you do for him. Here we see the priorities of the Father. And by the way, that's not an excuse for laziness. We're supposed to serve God with our lives and our families, in our church, in our communities. But this shows us the possibility, this elder brother, of living in the Father's house and not understanding the Father's heart. The main thing was this: the prodigal was lost, now he's found. He was off in sin, now he's forgiven. He was dead, is now alive. He was off in the far country, and now he's home, as the end of verse 27 says, and I love this, it's a message unto itself, safe and sound. You know what the Father's house is? Safe and sound. You know what the Father's house is? When we get there, we're safe and sound. Safe and sound. Priority. What's the priority? The priority is seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The priority is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. The priority is, and some having compassion, making a difference. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the priority for the Father was the Son was home. It wasn't what He did or how He ended up. You know, and I think it's going to be the same way when we get to heaven and God greets us And we'll fall down at His feet, yes. I don't know if this is fact. I'm sticking away from the pulpit. But I just imagine in my mind Him asking us to raise up and hugging us and saying, "You're home safe and sound." That's the priority. That's the priority. Safe and sound. You're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can hear everything I said. You can put all these principles in your life and be the best father you could be. But if you're not saved, you're not going to heaven. You're not going to make it safe and sound. That's what God wants. He wants you home, safe and sound. Does He want us to go off into sin like the prodigal, Pastor? No. Does He want us to have a sin of attitude like the elder prodigal? No. But I'll tell you this. What He wants is sons, and the priority is this: safe and sound. Safe and sound. The road of return back to the Father's house. Shall we bow our heads in prayer?